broadcasting from inside the Jim Butler Ballroom of the beautiful Mitzvah Hotel, KFAB and Twyla's Pack and Tack Shop is proud to present Drive Time Tonopah with your hosts, Faye and Brenda.
I am the Faye driver, and
I'm Brenda Boo.
Thanks for joining us here on Drive Time Tonopah.
We're on location.
We are. We're on location, on the move. The KFAB studio, mobile studio truck has come out. Where are we right now, Brenda Boo?
Excuse me. We are at the border crossing between the Canadas and the Americas. We are in a line.
One of the ever-present lines that we've been experiencing this week. Mm-hmm. This is our second whack at trying to get across the border. This time we're going back to the Americas.
Mm-hmm. Can we tell them in, this isn't our first attempt to go to America today?
Why, no.
What happened earlier? Say, 20 minutes into our drive, what happened?
Somebody realized that they forgot their passport at home, and it wasn't a girl.
Let me double check and see if mine's here. Oh, yes it is! It's in my wallet where I kept it because I knew that I'd be going back and forth.
Right. Very well, yes.
We won't belabor the point
I forgot a very vital piece of equipment.
I almost reminded you too.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Well, we were just so excited to come, to be getting on the road. I just did. I thought I had all my...
Feel my hair right here.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of styling, Jill. Anyway, sorry.
All right,
I just asked Faye to touch the crunchiness of the styling gel I had in my hair. Because I am dressed in my best lesbian chic. Because today we're going to go look at employment agencies.
Right. So let's tell the folks a little bit about what's happened. We already have heard you've arrived in Bellingham. We spoke a little bit about driving across the country and stuff like that. But do you want to tell, should we tell them what our experiences were when we met up together in Bellingham and went to unload your truck of all your stuff?
Yeah, and I'm just wondering why this lady just now figured out she needed to be in the other lane. The people around here, do they all learn at Walmart? Is this a discount service to learn how to drive around here? I started out my day with an 8-hour drive, the last little bit going from
Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene, a fancy schmancy town in Idaho. And so I made the last leg of my trip without much incident, except getting on the 405, which is around Seattle, which almost gave me a coronary.
Right.
Very busy. I mean, fucking busy. It felt like people were going to work, but it was Saturday. I didn't understand why it was so busy. It was so busy, so bumper to bumper, and I was just looking for the signs that I needed, so I'm looking for, I need 5 North, that was just literally going through my head. And finally I see the exit for 5 North, and there's like no way I can get over to that lane. So I go driving up the left-hand side, pretending like, oh, I'm gonna go this way, and then I had to do one of these, please let me in, please let me in, and I got in, and that was stressful. But yeah, so I finally get there. The traffic calmed down on the 5. And I'm starting to relax. I've talked to you. We're going to meet. And I'm getting the exit to go to the street where I made a reservation for my U-Haul. And I rubbed my eye. This is what happened. I rubbed my eye, which kind of turned my perspective off a little bit. And I didn't realize they were at a complete standstill. Oh. So I slammed on the brakes, and it was going fast enough that I even like did a maneuver, like in case I couldn't stop.
Uh-huh.
So I
did a little swerve,
but I was able to stop, but that got my heart racing. So that was fun. And I thought, I drove all these 1,800 miles just to rear end somebody 5 minutes before I met up with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw me standing by the side of the road, or you phoned me right... Did you phone me?
Yes.
Right when you got off the freeway.
As I was trying to get off the freeway,
oh,
because
yeah.
I wanted to tell you that I was stuck, because this traffic was not moving.
Right.
And I'm like, why is this town isn't that big, why is it taking so long for this exit? And then we soon found out what the deal was with that fucking street, but...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Look at this lady, and nobody's gonna let her in. Nobody's gonna let her in.
Mm-hmm. We're in line, just so to give you some awareness about where we are in the border line. The Border Buddy software that I looked on the phone says we have a 30-minute delay to get through the border, so there's two lines of traffic. And we haven't really moved more than 4 feet since we pulled up to this line. And the lady in front of us this lane hasn't moved, but the lane beside her has moved a lot. She's going to get in that lane, and then that lane's going to stop. And then our lane is going to start going. So, anyway.
Isn't that the Nexus lane that they're trying to get into?
Car lanes coming into this place. That third lane where that red car went, that's Nexus.
Oh, because nobody is willing to let anybody switch. They are really making an obvious gesture to pull up as far as they can on the other person's bumper.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay, back to travel day.
Yeah, so we meet up. And Faye's like, let's just relax. We'll go to Denny's. We had some food. And then we went off to get into my storage unit.
Yes. Now, this is where the fun begins. You travel 1,900 miles across the northern states of America.
So, it was Minnesota. So, I started out Iowa. It's more states than I thought. So, it was Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Washington.
Right.
So 8 states altogether.
And then British Columbia at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Whole nother country.
Okay, so we eat, we make our way to the storage locker place.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us how that all went.
Well, you know, it was the day started at about 5 in the morning, and now this is getting to be about 3 in the afternoon. So it's been a long day already, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And 8 of those hours are just driving. And some of that driving was through some very interesting terrain. There's a lot of mountains. And so I'm kind of running on adrenaline and trying not to irritate Faye any more than I have to. He's very patient, but there's part of me that knows him well enough that knows that he's just like, Jesus Christ, get this fucking over with. Maybe I'm projecting because that's what I would be thinking. Like, how much longer is this going to take? But anyway, so we get to the U-Haul place and he's out by my stuff and I'm just, you know, I have a reservation. You wouldn't think it would take too long. So
everything's been paid for
yeah.
in advance.
So the lady who's helping me is, everything on the computer is a labor-intensive process. It's just like, it just seems like she hasn't done it enough times or something. So that was long. And then she gives me this card, which is supposed to have, it's supposed to deactivate the alarm system so that when every time I come, I swipe it, deactivates the alarm on my particular locker, and then I can go up and do my business. Well, it wouldn't take. It kept saying unauthorized, unauthorized. So how long were we fucking with just trying to check in? It had to have been a half hour.
At least, yeah. I mean, I had loaded up 3 carts of your stuff in your very intensely packed truck, I must say. The packing job, that the way the stuff got loaded in this truck was impeccable. Like a squirrel. This is better than a squirrel could load nuts into a tree hole. Mm-hmm. This truck was loaded to the gills.
And Eric got all the credit for that because he's the one that packed it.
Really nice boxes, too. You had lovely boxes.
Well, would you like them when I'm done with them?
I just might. You know, I have a thing for boxes.
These came from Sam's Club in the cake decorating section. So,
okay, so we finally, she says, all right, listen, I don't know how to make the card work. You guys just go up there and then do your thing and come and see me when you're done. So we do.
Yeah, because she took my license and wouldn't give it back until I brought back her precious lock that was already on there. So that,
right.
So I'm getting a little, I was starting to get like, this is taking too long. This is taking too long. We still have to drive back. And we get up into this fucking mouse maze of lost arches.
Yeah, so this is a massive building. It's like a warehouse, and it's lined with storage lockers, and there's lanes and lanes and alleys, and there's maps on the walls, but it's rather confusing.
Because it all looks the same.
Yeah.
There's no distinguishing features at all up in this thing.
Right.
And, yeah, it all looked the same. It wasn't obvious where the elevator was. They kept saying exit signs. I saw the exits, but you follow the exit and just take you to something that was of no use to me. So anyway, so we find my locker. Faye finds it. I was a little lost.
And we go to try to get this locker open. We're fighting with it. It won't open. The bloody locker just will not open.
Mm-hmm. It won't. It's the tiniest one they have, too. So I was thinking,
Here we go.
So I get on my phone and I call. I have the rental agreement with me and I dial the number and I say, hi, this is, I'm having some trouble up here. Oh, well, this isn't at the actual place. I'm somewhere off location. Do you want me to give them a message? No, I don't. I will walk downstairs. Thank you, though. And then we start to walk downstairs, and there's a call thing that says, like, oh, do you need assistance? Push here. So Faye's pushing, and nobody answers the intercom.
No, it doesn't even buzz or jingle or ding or anything. It's like dead air.
So what made you go around the corner to, because then all of a sudden you holler at me like, I got it!
Yeah, so the funny thing is, we approached this locker down, you know, you walk down this never-ending hallway, and you can see the locker at the end of the hall, but it's a corner locker, and the locker looks like all the other doors. It's got a number on it, there's a padlock on the lock, but what we didn't realize was, if we just looked around the corner, the other corner side of the corner locker, there's another door that looks identical with the locker number on it and a padlock on it and a door and, you know, the whole thing.
There was two padlocks?
Yeah, there were two padlocks. So they had
we put the one back, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
So, just so people understand, the door that you see walking down the lane, the hallway, was completely screwed shut. Like, it was bolted shut. There's no way anyone was ever getting that locker open because it had 28 screws holding the door shut. But the sliding door was on the other side around the corner. So I don't know what made me look around the corner.
Oh, okay.
I just did, and I realized, hey, there's another locker number 2014 or whatever, 2017.
Hey, people might drive all the way to Bellingham and try to get into my locker now. There's a lot of blankets in there.
Don't worry. There's no way anyone's getting in that building without an unusable swipe card.
Yeah.
So finally, we got the locker open. We got the stuff unloaded. And
when I went back down to get the second load, I was twirling around in that maze looking for my cheese. Oh. You fortunately, I think, Didn't you kind of... No, I finally found the elevator.
Yeah.
But I was just like, this is never going to end. So then I had to go back and deal with this lady again. And there was somebody else there.
Yeah.
It still didn't work. She's like, well, next time you come, you'll just have to talk to somebody. I didn't like the solution she came up with.
In fact, I think she had the same situation. Some other guy was trying to get his locker, and she couldn't make his card. Or she said, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but just do your best.
Mm-hmm. The weird part of it was I kind of saved her because she was having this funny tickle in her throat. And she was coughing, and it was not going away. And I've had those kind of tickles before. So I said, do you want a mint? Because I always have a pocket full of mints. And she took it, and that kind of saved her ass.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think she was embarrassed about. I know how she felt. But it was just getting to be like, it was just too much. It was like too much shit for one day.
Right.
So it was hot. It was.
Oh, yeah, the lot, that room, that place is boiling hot.
Yeah, they say it's a...
climate control.
Climate control.
At 85 degrees.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, okay, let's move on. So we finish unloading a little bit of a sigh of a relief,
mm-hmm.
but you're still pretty wound up. I mean, you're at your wit's end. It's been a long 4 days.
Could you tell?
And yeah, you were exhausted.
No, I thought I was keeping it together, though.
No, you were fine, but...
Oh, the car lane's moving. And nobody moved out of it to get. Feeling cocky all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yes. So then we start heading towards the border. And so I'm following Faye. And we're not having any troubles. Just driving. Starting to get...
Dusty. Still,
yeah, it was light. And so I called my folks.
Oh, good.
And I... called somebody else and said, here, I got here, and before I had to turn my phone off, and so the border said, what, 30 minutes?
Right.
Dirty, dirty lie. It was an hour before we even talked to anybody. And Faye had indicated that when he got to the border, he was going to say, I'm with that woman behind me. We're traveling together. She's staying with me for a while. No. I'm going to be a bitch now. You cannot get in there.
Just so everyone knows, somebody wants into our lane.
Well, you drive down and get to the back like everybody
right.
else.
I agree.
So,
look, there's a UPS truck with a UPS trailer.
Wow, that's a lot of boxes. So, Faye, did you follow up on that plan?
No, I didn't do that. Here's the reason why. My idea when coming across the border is...
But you indicated that that's what you were going to do.
I did. I said that I would
I
say...
I didn't pull that out of my ass.
No, I absolutely... I said that I did indicate that I would pave the way. But, you know, those border guards are very intimidating.
Yeah, they are. All of a sudden, you feel like a 5-year-old kid. I swear I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah.
So, anyway, I got the grill, and he was grilling me, and he didn't really give me an opportunity to answer, to say anything other than what the 20 questions were.
Oh, like, what, have you been on a farm?
Yeah.
Oh, but they wanted to know if you were
a
doctor all of a sudden, right?
Yes. I was questioned very intensely about any possibility that I might have come in contact with Ebola or anybody who might have Ebola. Or, in my opinion, was I concerned that I might have been come in contact with anybody who might have been in contact with Ebola in the last 21 days?
They didn't ask me anything about Ebola.
So... So, and he said, all right, go.
Yeah, then they act like you're wasting their time.
Yeah,
at
right.
The end. They give you like 100 questions and they're like, get out of here, you fucking pissing me off, fuckers.
So, I'm sorry, I never paved the way. I never indicated any of those things that I said I was going to.
Well, I don't know that it really would have mattered if you had.
Yeah,
it probably would have just made it harder for you to get through. Because then I go in, and he's, like, you know, looking at my Iowa plates, And he says, so I offer up this information. I'm with blah, 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 the Faye driver up there, and I'm staying with him for a while because I'm moving to Mellingham. And all of a sudden he's like, what? He's like, you don't have an address? Well, I used to live here. Well, you don't have a job? Not yet. And that just, all the red... If this was a, like the day of, like a flag day, it would have just, all these flags would have just started blowing in the wind. This lady, I gotta talk. So then he just started talking to me like, I don't know, like I had walked up there and I had like a stick with a little hobo pack and I was trying to walk across the border. How much money you got on you? 50 cents, you know. But he says, how much money do you have on you? And I thought he meant an actual cash. And at that time I had a couple hundred bucks. And I said, how about a couple hundred bucks? Another red flag went off. Then he just is like, he has decided.
All right, lady.
All right.
What are you up to? He says to himself.
Yep. So then he's decided that I'm going to need further questioning, because then he just starts asking me this, probably the questions he just asked you, right? Like, do you have any gifts? What, you know, what are you carrying? Just like, it was a standard thing. And he's like, well, you're going to need some extra questioning. Pull up over there and go to line A. And I'm like, so, I do what I'm told, because there's really nothing else I can do.
No.
And I go in and I talk to this guy briefly and tell him the same scenario. And he's like, well, give me your keys to your car. Do you have your keys? And I'm like, yeah. So I hand it to him. I say, do you have a bathroom? Because this whole time I've had to pee like a racehorse. So I don't know, I almost wonder if my bladder helped out, because then when I got back, he's just like, now, what are you doing? And I said, I just got a divorce. I'm moving here. Is Faye prepared to support you? You don't have very much money. What? No. Well, I have a checking account. Well, how much is in there? And I told him. He seemed relieved about that. And you don't intend on moving to Canada? No, I don't intend on moving to Canada. All right, get going.
Get out of here, you slime ball.
then I'm wasting his time all of a sudden. So I'm thinking, I'm relieved. I go and I see this little parking lot. And I think Faye's probably waiting for me in that parking lot. But I don't see Faye's car. So I'm like, fuck. No, he really would. Surely he isn't driving off. So I drove around the block, and I didn't see him. I didn't, like, no lights, nothing. And I'm like, ugh. So I just stop. I'm like, I'm not going to move any further away from this area. Some people I know might have just left me there and driven home. I'm like, oh, she'll figure it out.
A night in jail, and I'll get her in the morning.
I thought, he's pretty responsible. I don't think he'll leave me here.
So let me tell you what I did do. So I was hanging around and waiting and hoping you'd be spit out the border and we'd happily go. But I saw that you were detained and they made you go into a secondary questioning. So I tried... So then, in my wisdom, I thought, well, I'll waltz in there and straighten everything out. So I parked my car I did park in a parking lot, not the one you probably thought. And I walk up into the Border Services agency place. But I went in a different door. I was trying to find the public entrance to figure out where I should go without getting taken down by coming in the second... I didn't want to come in the secondary questioning where you were, because I thought that place is going to be... They're going to have cameras and guns and some guy just walking up off the street in there is going to get himself shot. So I went in a different door, and I could see you inside the building, And I saw that you were talking to the man at the desk and whatever, and I saw that you got released, and he said, all right, off you go, and you were making your way out to your truck. Mm-hmm. The problem was, I was just hanging around poking my nose in, and three other guards come up to me, and I'm like, what are you doing? What do you want? What are you doing in here? You're not supposed to be here. So then I got, okay, come with me, sir. Give me your passport. Who are you? What are you doing? What's happening?
But to me, that's weird because we are on the Canadian side. Don't they have any kind of trust towards their own citizens? It's not like you're on the American side. That really kind of confused me. Like, did you say I'm waiting for my friend, or did you?
Yeah, I told them the whole story. My friend's here. She's been drawn into secondary questioning. I'm trying to connect with her to help, you know, because she's coming to stay, and I gave them our whole spiel, mm-hmm. right? And that's what took me so long, because now I was basically going through secondary questioning, having to justify what I was doing.
Right. So. Plus, you know, when they're questioning you, they ask you the same question several different ways, I think,
right.
to try and catch you. And
so it was quite a fiasco. But we made it. We did it.
How long do you think we were at the border doing all this nonsense? Combination of waiting and then all this.
I know that I think it was like hour 15 to an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of guessing.
I know that we were in the border lineup for about 55 minutes before we even got to the questioning booth.
But the border people really make you feel like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Right.
I mean, when I was, maybe it'll be, I'm curious to see what it's like going through the American side. Because when I came through customs, through the airport, especially when I came back to America, there was this definite like, whatever, come back, can't stop you. Oh. You're a citizen kind of feeling. But the Canadian people don't make you feel like that when you come through. I mean, you are coming back home.
No, it depends. You know, it's hardly ever a pleasant experience. But, I mean, I still feel it's been professional, and I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Hmm. But so you never get that feeling like.
No, I always feel like you're being interrogated, even coming into Canada.
It's like, oh.
What have you been doing? Why would you want to leave Canada? And now you want back? What did you buy?
God. Well, apparently, everybody in this line here is, they're from Oregon. The people in front of us are from Oregon. But it's predominantly Canadians that are going back and forth on this.
Yeah.
You know, so they're leaving and coming as they please. So, they're okay, you've always said that the U.S. food is a lot cheaper, and I'm going to have to tell you, I concur.
Yeah.
It is a lot cheaper. But this fucking hassle of going to the border would not be worth...
No, it is not.
Not worth it.
It highly devalues the experience or the savings that you might incur.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're retired and you're, you know.
Right. Or if you're making a major purchase. Mm. Like spending $2,000 on tires.
Yeah. Well, so we get home and we're hungry and I have my first experience of beans on toast.
Oh, yes.
Which was fine. There's nothing unpleasant about it.
The great Canadian staple of beans on toast.
Mm-hmm. And then I think we both kind of collapsed.
Yeah. It was a long day for both of us.
Because you had worked all night.
Right.
So that's another part of it. I knew that he was coming off his two overnight shifts, which... Faye feels like sleep is always just optional, so I knew he hadn't had any sleep. And I could see by his little eyeballs, they're just getting smaller and smaller. And I want to commend you for your... You have a very high tolerance. You are a very patient person.
Oh.
There's a lot of people I know that would have lost their shit hours before.
And you mean dealing with the locker lady?
The delays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everything that happened once we started dealing... You know, it's like when I only had to depend on myself, everything was fine. And the minute I started having to deal with strangers and employees, everything just went to shit.
Yeah. There's an over bureaucratic system. Everywhere you go, there's a bureaucracy, even at the locker rental place.
Mm. It should have just gone bing, bang, boom.
Yeah.
You know, even if, you know, and as prepared as I was, because, you know, I really tried to think of every possibility, everything I might need along the way. And even being prepared, it's still, you still get fucked. You know, it's a good lesson, you know. It's like you can only do so much.
Right.
And
yeah, you were you're an excellent traveler. I mean, the way that you came across a country like this, it all went really incredibly smoothly from my perspective, and I commend you for surviving the journey, but two, just for being, you know, pretty well prepared.
Yeah, it was weird. I noticed that when I don't know if you're like this, you're probably not like this, but if I know I can only depend on myself, I'm stronger. And then the minute I kind of relax, that's when all my kind of neurotic tendencies start to pop up. Because that's what happened yesterday. There was, all of a sudden I started thinking about how much work, I thought getting across the country was going to be the hard part. That was the easy part. It's like all the hard work now is really starting. Trying to find a job. Trolling through the fucking internet for jobs and the questionnaires you have to take for every goddamn underpaid minimum wage job in the world. Jesus Christ. You saw some of those questions.
Yeah, ridiculous. 94 questions trying to glean something about your personality.
Mm-hmm. I get easily frustrated. You betcha.
Have you ever broken a traffic law?
Ever? Who? Yeah. I have never lied to my parents. That was one of the questions. What?
Yeah, these double...
I'm 50 years old. I've never lied to anybody.
Uh-huh. Right. Go ahead. And there's the double negative ones. Like, what was the one? I agree or disagree. I don't feel like my time is wasted by people who have questions. What the hell? What are you asking exactly? Okay, now let's get into Canada. We survived the first night. We went to sleep. The second day, Mark in Canada joined us. Mm-hmm. We've been actually very productive since you've arrived here. We've gotten a lot of things done. I mean, we've set up telephone service for you, which was another bureaucratic experience. Well, and the people we were dealing with knew less about the service than we did.
Yeah, Faye was telling them. Before we do that, I want to just acknowledge how Faye has set up my own little computer set up. He put a password in it. Like, he didn't even need to put a password on there.
No, but it gives you your own system so that you're not using my. You can you can make your little face, you load up your stupid Facebook if you want, and you can save your little dingle dangle website pages so that you can have your own thing and not worry about, I don't want to do that because I don't want to wreck Faye's internet or whatever. So that's why I did it.
Oh, it was for your own benefit.
Joking.
But yeah. I don't do much on the computer, really, relatively speaking. But I just wanted to say he provided me a nice little hotel. What's that person doing? It's all very confusing what's going on here.
Yeah. See, it's that was the kind of, yeah, whatever. Never mind all that. So, okay, you get set up in your hotel. Fay Manor, people are calling it.
The sun is warm.
You get set up. We go out for breakfast with Mark. Spent the day with Mark.
Played games. Played sequence. Fay won. Oh, no, he never won.
I had not a single game. I lost every game I played. And I'm bitter. I'm going to carry it to the grave. Sorry about tripping you later today.
Yeah. Mr. Anderson said that you lost on purpose just to be polite. And I'm like, since when is this a practice of his? I've never seen him lose on purpose. I've been playing Words with Friends with him. Has it been a year?
At least.
Yeah, and I rarely win, and there's all kinds of rules.
How are you finding it living at the Fay Manor? Are you are you overwrought with rules? Are there a lot of rules in the house?
I'm trying to be very respectful. This is me at high level politeness. How am I doing? I don't know if I could be any more polite.
No, I don't. I have no issues.
But I mean, even I've had experiences where I've been with other people where I've been at high level, level red for trying to be on my best behavior, and it still wasn't good enough.
Oh, yeah. I don't feel as though you're impacting our lives in very much.
Except for your routines. Can I, no. I'm not as slovenly as I would be in my own home. But, so I'm trying to not just walk up and get in the bathroom without saying like, hey, were you going to take a shower? And then have him curse me.
Yeah, and our routines we're doing fine with our routines. Like, we're not being impacted too much. Mm-hmm. And that's to be expected. And that's going to work out too as we spend more time together. Because I haven't even got into my work routine yet, right? So you'll see. Mm-hmm. Like, tomorrow's going to be significantly different than the rest of the days we've had together. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's going well so far.
What do you feel? Now, I always say that, like, with my stomach's growling already.
Yeah, I'm hungry too.
I'm hungry. Anyway.
Waiting. We don't deal with waiting well.
Is my drink's about ready to run out? This is becoming inconvenient.
How far do you think we've got along in this line since we started this show, this episode?
Jesus Christ. I'm not good with distances, but I would... Lady, look where you're going. 10 car lengths, maybe?
Oh, yeah, okay. As far as our progress through the system, I think we've made it 1/4 of the way so far. Mm. Maybe 1/3 of the way. Mm-hmm. We're about... I estimate we are another...
At least half hour.
20 minutes from questioning.
Okay, so we'll... 10:22. That's another thing. My body is still on Central Time, which is 2 hours ahead of you guys. Mm. So that was a little bit of an adjustment, which was kind of good actually, because then it made it easy. By the time you wanted to get going, which would have been your normal time, it would have been early for me in Central Time. But since I was still on Central Time, it felt like my normal time. What? No.
Okay, so you got up somewhere around 5 o'clock today?
Did you? Mm, oh. 6:30.
Oh, okay.
And I went up and took a shower right away.
So do you think you're going to be getting up earlier than 6:30 on a general regular basis? Or later?
No, not later.
Not later, yeah. Okay. Mm. So are you...
So that would have been sleeping in Iowa. That'd be 8:30.
Okay, yeah.
And I was used to getting up about 7:30 when I had my cleaning jobs. Hmm. You know, can I just say, it's a weird conundrum I feel like I'm in right now, because it feels like there's so many hurdles to cross. And the part of me that likes that everybody wants a routine, is craving a routine. But when you think about going back to the old routine, I really don't, that isn't appealing either. So it's this weird limbo state of, you're desperate for something that's normal, but you don't want the old normal.
Right. A weird transition zone.
Nobody wants in Canada this morning. You know.
No, there's hardly anybody.
Nobody wants out.
Okay, so how do you feel about the future then? So you're here. You're sort of almost settling into your Canadian quarters.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I notice is your house is very quiet. And you're not as quiet because you're
old. What does that mean?
I mean, because I'm constantly talking to me. You're not just ignoring me, so you're responding.
But Mr. Anderson just gives you these blank stares.
Oh my God, I thought the first, when I saw him, I had this feeling like he's like, please quit dragging stray dogs into my home, Faye. Because Faye has a tendency to pick up birds with broken wings. Uh-oh. This is why we haven't been moving.
Oh, so this is the explanation. They're now burning two lanes into one.
So that's why we haven't been moving.
Right. We're in the get fucked lane.
Oh, yes. So, it's a little daunting. There's definitely part of me that thinks, I'm too old for this shit.
Mm-hmm. What have I done?
What the fuck have I done?
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a big part of me is like, how many times in my life do I have to fucking start over from square one? Mm. Because when I got married, I thought that was it, you know?
Right. Set for life.
Well, yeah, in some ways. Because I was always willing to, you know, start a new job situation. Because I've always started new jobs. But, you know, this is definitely something where I have had to start many different things at the same time. And that part of my personality that just wants to give up is kind of popping its head up every once in a while. Just like, can't do this. Mm-hmm. So that's troublesome. That the idea of when I do get an apartment and then moving my meager little possessions into this apartment and then being there all by myself kind of feels depressing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So part of me thinks like I'm going to be, I'll never date anybody ever again. Just because I don't have that kind of personality to like be all flirty and naive like you used to. Please let me in.
Just take it. She is. That is the woman that I work with.
Well, she's eyeballing you. What does she do?
I won't talk about that.
Oh. Okay. Well, it's hard being a pimp. You gotta keep your hoes their privacy. So, yeah, welcome to the United States of America. But it just seems like a lot of work that I've undertaken.
Yeah, I'll say.
But, you know, could it have, I don't know. Something had to give, you know?
Right.
Yesterday was a rough day for me, so. But I'm feeling better today. You've made it a lot easier. If I had just stayed at home, I think I would have been a bigger mess. But there's a lot to get used to. How do you feel like? It's almost like, you know, you are my sponsor. mean, is this just like another project in your mind? How did you view all this? Because you know, you're not one to take on things that you're like, oh, I can't follow through with this. You would have nipped it in the bud a long time ago. Right? Or yeah. do you have a weird sense of responsibility or...
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't refer to it as a project. This is my Brenda project. No, I knew this would be a bit of a commitment, but I think it's important for you to start a new life. I think you need to get out of Cedar Rapids and move on and do something with your life that you've never been able to do. I've always felt as though you're stagnating. You've been stagnating in this marriage, in this situation, in the life you have. I've never felt like you've been happy in your life.
Yeah.
And I think it was really good for you to take this huge, huge risk and do this, and it's just something that I felt I wanted to help you with. Because I think you're going to come out better and be a happier person despite what success or failure you might experience here in Bellingham. I still think it's going to be a happier existence than what you've got or what you had.
He's a puppy.
In Cedar Rapids. All right, we're getting close to questioning, so we should probably end this episode of Drive Time to Nopa.
Yes, but I just want to say this. Can I just say this? Maybe it's been my series of life experiences that have brought me to this point. But it just amazes me that your generosity with me, because I've never even felt that with many of my own family members. So I just want to acknowledge that it's just, it's incredibly heartwarming to me that you're doing this for me, and I don't know how to pay you back or tell you how much I appreciate it. It's just surreal to me that you're allowing me to stay in your house and you're just spending all this time helping me get settled. And so I know you don't mean it, but I love you for it.
Thank you, Brenda. I understand. Yes, you're welcome.
Faye doesn't really love other humans. He puts all the effort in, but he's got a heart of stone, right?
I sure do. Okay, well, on that sappy note, we're going to try and make a run for the border here. So thanks for listening to this episode of Drive Time to Nopa, mm-hmm. where we're truly driving.
Mm-hmm. Morning AM. Because that's one of the original names, might have been AM to Nopa, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Faye might have been the closer guesser, because now it is 10:35. Although I think it's going to be somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes.
I said we'd be at questioning at 10:42, I believe, right? I said 20 minutes when it was 10:22.
I said half hour.
We're 8 minutes away from my time mark. And
I think it's going to be in between the 2 hours.
Yeah. All right, you can email us at fayandbrenda@gmail.com. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. We didn't say the weather.
What is the weather?
Partly cloudy and about 60 here in the Canadas. Hi. Two of us in here.
Okay. Where do you guys live?
I live in... And she's staying with me temporarily.
How do you guys know each other?
We've known each other for 5 years from via the internet.
So whose vehicle?
This is mine.
Your vehicle? Mm-hmm. Do you live in Iowa?
No, I'm moving to Bellingham, but I'm staying with him today, and today we're going in to do some job hunting.
Basically. Some what?
Job hunting.
Okay. You said you're moving to Bellingham?
Yes.
What about you, sir? What are you doing?
I work for... jacket, or inside my jacket, so.